This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 2, 2020. The Presentation of the Lord by Father William Doc Holliday.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those words are from Psalm number 47, 48, if you use a newer translation of the Scriptures. And it speaks of the city of God. It speaks where he is praised. It speaks of the beauty and security bestowed on the city of God by his presence. That's what makes it special. Our Blessed Mother, when it came time to bring our Lord Jesus Christ, to have him fulfill all those things, and for her, the purification and his circumcision, they didn't do it at home. They brought him to the temple. Why? Why couldn't Joseph go out and sacrifice? He was a just man, we read in the Scriptures, foster father of our Lord, but he didn't take it upon himself to offer sacrifice to God. He took it to the temple and gave it to the priest to do so. We have to understand that we do that because there is something special in these places where God's presence dwells. Throughout history, but in this psalm, it speaks of Jerusalem. It speaks of Zion. Those are places, actually. They are bits of real estate on this planet. God, by his presence, made them special. If you look at the Old Testament, and you ask most people, where was God worshipped in the Old Testament? Most people would say Jerusalem, and they would be correct for a certain period of time. There are other periods of time when Jerusalem was a non-issue as far as worship went. Initially, it was Shiloh. Most people don't even know anything about Shiloh. Shiloh, God's presence was there. The Ark of the Covenant was there. The priesthood was centered there. Everybody focused their attention. You made pilgrimages to Shiloh because God's presence was there. But because the people started paying too much attention to the place and to the institution and not to God, he actually had his presence removed. He allowed the Philistines to take the Ark of the Covenant. Then he set it up in Jerusalem. King David brings the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem becomes a very, very special place where God is worshipped. He's there, the Shekinah glory is there, the Ark of the Covenant is there. But periodically, because of the malfeasance of God's people, he chastises them by having it invaded, burned, parts of it destroyed. It's got to be rebuilt. And then ultimately, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, 70 AD, just less than two generations after our Lord descends into heaven, Jerusalem is destroyed and sacked by the Romans, and it is never the same. The Romans take it down to the bare foundations, and it has never been the same. God moved his place of worship. He moved it not to a center of location where we have to go and make pilgrimage, but where the government, that hierarchical government of the church, is seated, and that is in Rome. When we look at history, we have to understand that God has changed his place several times. Why are we ever to think that he might not do it again? Just a conjecture, just a thinking about things and the way he's worked in the past. When we start paying too much attention to places and to institutions, then we have problems, because God's presence isn't about just a place. Those were shadows. They pointed forward to something, and that something to which they pointed forward was the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is the fulfillment of these prophecies. It is the fulfillment of everything that was shadowy and pointed forward to this place where God would be worshiped. Because of the place, because of the buildings, no, because God's presence was there. In the Old Testament, God's presence was there in shadow. In the Catholic Church, He is there in reality. He is there objectively. He is there truly. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. We have something going for us. We have something here that is nowhere else. Absolutely nowhere else on the face of this planet. Roman Catholic Church. Even when we read the Psalm that talks about Jerusalem, a piece of real estate, a real city, the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, points us to something greater than that place. For instance, in verse 2 of that psalm, it says that this place, Jerusalem, is a joy of all the earth. Well, obviously, if people are invading it and burning it down and have animus towards it, that real estate isn't the fulfillment of it being a joy to all the earth. When he says that, he cannot be focusing on a particular city. Verse 8, as we have heard, so have we seen. Shadows and types that we find in the Old Testament, cities, mountains, temples, arcs, they are all promises of something to come. Promises are not fulfillment. A lot of promises remain broken. We have to understand that the promises of God are always fulfilled. When the psalmist speaks of a place where God's presence is objectively, we see the fulfillment. We see that the prophets are telling us something that we must embrace by our faith, and we have to understand that their promises are fulfilled in our life. And by that, I mean our life as members of the Roman Catholic Church. We have, over the past several decades, lost sight of the fact of what the Roman Catholic Church is. The Roman Catholic Church is nothing less than heaven on earth. That's an awful bold statement to say that about. What is heaven? Heaven is where God dwells. The Roman Catholic Church is where God dwells on the face of this planet. He is there truly and objectively. We have to appreciate this. The Roman Catholic Church is a supernatural entity. It has to be a supernatural entity because it was established by God Almighty Himself. Of His own lips, our Lord says to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church." Not a church, not even the church, My church. Every other thing that may call itself that is not His church. That's the Roman Catholic Church. To be in communion with this Peter upon whom he built the church is a necessity to be a member of the church. This is God's truth. The Roman Catholic Church is heaven on earth. It is the city on the hill of which we hear our Lord Jesus Christ speak. He says it's a city on a hill which cannot be hid under a bushel. This whole motif of light today, this is where the fullness of that light is to be found, is in the Roman Catholic Church. It is a city on a hill that cannot be hid under the bushel of any other thing that calls itself the church. And we need to present her that way. Why? Triumphantly? No. But because we want people to be with Jesus Christ in the most full sense of the word. And this is the only place you can do it. All your Protestant friends, they can't agree on anything, but they can agree on this. Bread and wine do not become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing changes in them. That's not a Eucharistic denial. It's a denial of God's presence. So when we hear 70% of Catholics, it's a denial of God's presence. It's a losing sight of the supernatural being of the church. That it is heaven on earth. Although she may not look like it at times. There have been several times throughout history, very dark, dark times in the church's history. There were a time when, save for, I mean this literally, you could count on one hand the number of Catholic bishops on the face of this planet, of which there were hundreds. You could count them on one hand that actually believed that Jesus Christ was God. And if you deny Jesus Christ as God, then you're starting to question the Trinity. Well, every bishop believes that. Guess what? They were all wrong. And that handful of faithful bishops, shored up by the faithful who had been taught that Jesus Christ is truly God, and that there is a blessed and undivided Trinity, these people shored up those bishops, and now we understand that that is Orthodox Catholic teaching. The other is called Arianism. It's a heresy. The church endured that for over 70 years. People lived and died while the entire Catholic Church, the whole magisterium of the church, didn't believe Jesus was God, but the Holy Spirit superintended her. There's a time in history when there was a dark schism in the church. Two popes. At one time during this schism, there were three. One in Rome, one in northern Italy, one in Avignon, France. Did the church cease to exist? I mean, that's horrendous. I mean, we've got two now, you know, and everybody's all bent out of shape about that, you know, depending on to whom you speak. But at the end of the day, it's been worse when it comes to that. But there is a deeper crisis in our day. This is subjective opinion. It may be darker than any of the others. But guess what? It is not to worry. Because our Lord Jesus Christ said the gates of hell will not prevail against the Catholic Church. He did not say that she might not be whittled down to a very few people. He doesn't say how big she's going to be. He just say the gates of hell will never prevail against her. This is God who said that. We need to appreciate that. So we see her and are confronted with all this stuff that we read constantly. This, then that, and that. You should never question your Catholicism. Yeah, you can talk about and compare and contrast the way it's presented in a lot of places. But you should never lose sight of the fact that you, as a faithful Catholic, are a member of Christ's church. This is what we have to appreciate about what we have. This is not being a member of a club. It is actually being an ontological part of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not speak of the body of Christ because it sounds churchy. We are part of the body of Christ. We are part of an organism that advances his kingdom in this world supernaturally. And to lose the supernatural understanding of what the Catholic Church is to lose everything. Supernatural, in a lot of places, is taken as superstition now in our day. We serve God. He is supernatural. He founded nature. He put the laws in place. He can go beyond them. We serve a supernatural God in a supernatural place. We are the only place on the face of this planet where certain men, no matter their frailty, even no matter their horrendous sins, if they're doing what the church does when they say the words of the sacraments, the sacraments work supernaturally because of what they are, not what he is. We need to appreciate that. This should be a glory for us. Now, I get a whole lot of people coming to me and say, I went on vacation. I had to endure this. I had to endure this at certain places. When it came to their attendance at Mass on Sunday, I always said, Jesus Christ was there. If it was a Catholic church and there was a Catholic priest, and he said the proper forms, used the proper matter, Jesus Christ was there. No matter how much angst it may have fostered within you. Okay? It's Jesus Christ in his presence that makes the church what she is, the Roman Catholic Church. We have to appreciate this. Again, it's not a matter of we're better than you, we've got this and you don't. This should be a catalyst for you to go out and tell people that they need to be Catholics. They need to be Catholics. Because you know what? Because this Catholic Church in a lot of places has lost this supernatural identity of the Church, it is somewhat unrecognizable to people. This is a scary example. I will use it nonetheless. I am currently dealing, personally, with four different individuals who have never laid eyes on one another. Never laid eyes on one another. They've never met together, never had a conference call or anything. Four different individuals who are Protestants of varying denominations, and they all want to become Catholic. We live in some respects, we beef about the internet and all this, and it can be very dangerous, but it does a lot of good things. These four people who, again, I'm not talking about an anecdote I read. This is my life. I'm dealing with these four individuals at different levels of investigation, but they have all investigated their faith. Not the Catholic Church because, but they just investigated Christianity. And they delved into their faith. And you know where it led them? Where the Holy Spirit led them through this whole thing? The Catholic Church. This is the scary part about what I mean about losing a supernatural vision. Every single one of these four people have visited, within the past few years, places around, and they do not see what they have learned. They studied on their own. The Holy Spirit guided them into the truths that the Catholic Church has already presented, but they went to visit places and they did not see what they had read and studied that the Catholic Church teaches and believes. And they kept from engaging with the Catholic Church until the Holy Spirit led them in His providence here. That is not to say we got it all going on by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, look at this place. You know, most of the parishes around, you know, they've got places bigger than this to put their lawn equipment. Okay? We don't have really anything going on for us except for the fact that, you know, in our frailty, we try to present what the Catholic Church has always taught and presented in the way she has always taught and presented it. Directly, confrontationally, telling people that if you're a Protestant, you need to be Catholic. If you're a non-Christian, you need to be a Catholic. If you're a pagan, you need to be Catholic. Notice I didn't say you need to be Christian. You need to be in some, you need to believe in God generally. No, you need to be a Catholic. Because this, the Catholic Church, is in which the fullness of God dwells. We've got to appreciate that. When we appreciate what we have, it is absolutely sinfully selfish for us to keep it to ourselves and not tell other people that this is where you find Jesus Christ. You find Him directly. You find Him as an individual. That's why when we come into the parish, any parish, what do? If there's a sanctuary light lit, you genuflect. You might not be able to see Him in some places. You can't figure out where He is. But traditionally, He's right dead center in the altar, and you genuflect when you come in to give Him reverence. It is a manifestation, a physical act, a real act, that Jesus Christ is really there. None of your Protestant friends genuflect when they go into the parish, generally speaking. Why? Because for them, Jesus is just there spiritually. This is what they say. They deny outright that our Lord is present under the forms of bread and wine. They deny any change occurs in the bread and wine. That's a denial of Christ's presence, objectively, with them. This is what we have to relish and what we have. This is why it is so sad that over 70% of the people, statistically speaking, do not believe in the real presence of Christ here, because that's what makes this place special. We've lost sight of that. I despise when I hear grandparents and parents come to me and say, my grandson or my daughter, they don't attend Mass anymore. They go here, they go there. But Father so-and-so said, you know, if they think they're being fed there, then that's good. No, Father, that is not the correct response. The correct response is you need to talk to them very seriously because their souls are in danger. They have separated themselves from the life-giving sacraments. Because the presentation now, well, if a person's baptized, baptism was given to the Catholic Church, so if they're baptized in water than trying formula, then they may be in the Catholic Church. That whole may thing about your eternal destiny is scary. It shouldn't be may. You should be definitely in the Catholic Church, not may be in the Catholic Church. But you got to take it farther than that because our Lord Jesus Christ teaches, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And the Roman Catholic Church is the only place where there is the authority to confect the sacrament of changing the bread and wine, the sacramental forms, into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only place it happens. We should glory in that. Like I said, there's a lot of times when it doesn't appear that God is watching out for His church. I would actually submit to you that it is proof positive that He is watching after His church. A psalmist in verses 12 and 13 of Psalm 47, he says, walk about Zion, the church. Go round about her, number her towers, consider her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell that next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. I just, you know, went through this whole thing about what has happened to the church and what's going on right now. If the church was a human institution, it would have been bankrupt and shut down in the second century. Okay? We have continually tried to mess it up for millennia. And guess what? She just keeps plugging along. And even more amazing, there are still people who want to join. There are people who want to become Catholics. That is proof positive that the Holy Spirit is superintending the Catholic Church. While we watch Protestant denominations just continue to fracture and move to this and deny this and become more alphabet soups, you know, even members of the same groups not believing what other members of the same group believe. Faithful Catholics all believe the same thing. Because the church is where Jesus Christ is present, and He will not let it be otherwise. The Roman Catholic Church, the church militant, will be here until the end of time. And the church triumphant will be here for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.